journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass dissent.
These are weapons of mass dissent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Monday, September 28th, 2009, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar.
It just makes me stop and think.
Silence is not an option.
History and memory. We'll spend the hour with master documentarian Adam Curtis with his powerful examination of World War II and post-war conflict and how we remember it.
This is Uprising.
Good morning and welcome to Uprising. President Obama was recently asked by a world leader at the G20 summit why, in the course of the healthcare debate, were some Americans depicting him as Hitler. The specter of fascism and Nazi ideology, conflated with the idea of socialism and hence government-run healthcare, is a common thread in the talking points of many right-wing commentators and politicians in the U.S. But is the connection historically accurate? In fact, World War II Nazi ideology was strikingly characterized by nationalism rather than socialism. And in fact, it was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR, that helped defeat Nazi Germany in World War II. The history of the Second World War has been distorted so heavily that most Americans today know it only as the Good War that helped defeat evil. Today, we'll spend the hour with Adam Curtis, BBC filmmaker. In his documentary series, The Power of Nightmares, that many of you are familiar with, Adam Curtis pondered the rise of the politics of fear. In the film we're featuring today, The Living Dead, he takes on politicians who seek the power of the past. As in other films by Adam Curtis that we've prominently featured in our past fund drives, The Living Dead combines archival footage and informative interviews with the provocative narration of the filmmaker himself. This three-part, three-hour series delves into the politics of memory of the post-World War II era of the 20th century. The film is called The Living Dead. I know it sounds a little bit scary, but it's actually a very, very powerful look not only at history, but also the manipulation of memory by politicians. It's a three-hour long film available on a single DVD as our thank you gift today to you, as we are still in our fund drive trying to reach that goal as we start the third week of this fund drive. You can call us anytime this hour at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. And for a pledge of just $75, we'll send you this DVD that's only been featured once before on this fund drive, and in fact once before on KPFK altogether, for a pledge of $75. It's a single DVD of 3 hours of this documentary. And if you've never, if you've always wanted to get the Adam Curtis films but haven't had the chance to, we're also offering all of the four films that we've featured on KPFK before, including this one today, The Living Dead, The Power of Nightmares, Century of the Self, and The Trap, for a pledge of just $225. That's four DVDs as our thank you gift to you for a pledge of $225 at 820-985-5735. I want to play for you the first opening minutes of this very powerful documentary about World War II and the erasing of memory, why it's important that we understand, in fact, even why the memories, the real memories around World War II were erased. As you're listening, remember to call in and make a pledge anytime this hour.
These are the German forests in which the last desperate battles of the Second World War were fought. Here, among the chaos and darkness, the Allies obliterated Nazism. Out of the senseless fragments of violent human experience, they forged a coherent memory of the war. It is the memory of the Good War, which we have lived with for 50 years. But in the process, the victors buried those fragments that didn't fit. They were suppressed, even in the minds of thousands of men who fought among these trees.
Thank you.
dream started with walking down a canal bank between trees, among trees. And suddenly I'm lying on my face and bullets are flying around me and mortar shells are falling. And someone is dying and shouting on his mother, for his mother. And I woke up and I wrote it out. And as I wrote it, the details started coming back to me and I realized this was no dream. I was just reconstructing the actual episode that happened, as it was. And that was the beginning of memory coming back.
Out of the carnage in Europe 50 years ago, the Allies selected certain memories. They used them to build the official version of the Good War. This film is about how that happened. It tells why certain memories had to be buried and forgotten because they contradicted the optimism of the big historical picture.
The fault of the big picture is that it omits evil. It's all good. We won the war, therefore we must have deserved to win it. Therefore we are wonderful people without fault, and so on. Right there you can read the history of modern Europe and the Allies' continued relation with it. A lot of the Cold War is based upon that. American behavior in Vietnam, which assumes that anybody who's opposed to communism must be wonderful, you see, and who's astonished when the people opposing communism proved to be as wicked as the communists. I'm thinking of Lieutenant Calley and people like that. Yes, it has a lot to do with post-war assumptions and post-war national behaviors, I would say, that great big picture, which so conveniently omits individual evil.
The story begins 6 years before the war, when the Nazis came to power in Germany. They promised to end the chaos the country had suffered since 1918. Hitler's right-hand man was Hermann Göring. Like many of the Nazis, Göring was convinced that a new Germany would arise only if it reawakened the glories of the past. In the forest north of Berlin, Göring began building a vast palace. Today, this is all that is left of Karin Hall.
Es war ein Haus von Göring, Karin Hall. Hier stand mal ein großes Haus, ein Schloss. Schade, dass es gesprengt ist geworden. Das war eine Sehenswert. Und jetzt alles eine Ruine.
Göring designed Karin Hall to evoke the power and splendor of Germany's distant past. The marble halls were lined with tapestries that displayed the images and symbols of the Teutonic Knights of old.
Und an der Wände waren auch Teppiche. Ja. Ich habe immer noch den in Erinnerung mit den großen Teufel da drauf, mit den Teufelbier da in der neuen Galerie.
In der Galerie. Oh.
Nazis like Göring look back to ancient German history, to a time when knights rode through the forests of northern Europe. The knights were powerful figures who had established political and intellectual supremacy. The Nazi aim was to conjure up this noble past, to mark the start of a new era.
They tried to give a new memory, a new history, a new past. There were big parades and big marches and big inszenierungen, big things they made in the town to bring the history back. You would have got the belief that you are coming from a very important past and going to a very important future. The whole Third Reich was a theater of memories that picked together from the past whatever was good and interesting for them, forgetting the rest, and they mixed them in a way never seen before. And there was a fascinating cocktail of a never-happened history.
Ihr Waldboden solle Schätze vergangener Jahrtausende bergen. Konnte ihre Mutter Erde eindringlicher zu ihr sprechen. Ein Wunder, welches sie und uns stolz macht, der Rasse anzugehören, die bereits vor tausenden von Jahren auf derart hoher Kulturstufe stand.
But the Nazis' project was far more than a simple reawakening of history. Their aim was to use the power of the past to transform those they governed into new and better people.
This is the former Congress building, Congress Hall. The Nazis planned it for their congresses, for the sub-organizations of the party rallies. It was planned for 50 to 60,000 people here to listen to the speeches of the big Nazi leaders. It's a mix between Babylonian, Egypt, medieval Greek, Roman architecture. The impression they were trying to give was of a very far away history, very mighty, very important, very big history.
The Nazis were deliberately manufacturing a mythical image of Germany's past in order to control its people. They believed that democracy and socialism had failed because individuals, when left to themselves, became corrupt and barbarous. Only the nation had the power to control this evil. It could pull people together and transform their wickedness into a new, powerful force. The giant Nazi rallies were an expression of this ideal. Dwarfed by the symbols of the country's mighty past, individuals would lose themselves in the vast sea of the nation's soul.
That is The Living Dead, which is a film by Adam Curtis, a very popular BBC filmmaker, at least popular here on KPFK, because we featured his films very often. We featured three of his films in the past that have been very popular with our listeners, and today we're featuring a fourth. It's called The Living Dead, and it's not just about World War II, which we've been listening to right now, the opening minutes. What it's really about is the distorting of history, the way in which World War II, very quickly after that war was over, was characterized as a fight of good versus evil, rather than looking at what human beings are capable of, any of us, not just a particular kind of human being or, Germans who identified with the Nazi party, but all human beings are capable of that, of course, are capable of the most bizarre, the most frightening type of fascist tendencies. And instead of examining that, the consequences of that, the impressions that gives us, and really looking into our own human psyche, the history of World War II was rewritten, particularly through the Nuremberg trials, and we're going to play some moments from the film about those trials in just a little while. And, the specter of the Nuremberg trials is often raised today, but this documentary really goes into the real history of what happened, how it was presented to the public, how it was seen here in the United States. This very powerful documentary called Living Dead was, of course, aired on BBC. And like his other documentaries, Adam Curtis's films have not been shown on American television, even though they're more relevant here than anywhere else. For a pledge of just $75, we want to give you The Living Dead, a three-hour-long, three-part documentary on par with Adam Curtis's other films, The Power of Nightmares, Century of the Self, and The Trap. It's just a $75 pledge at 818-985-KPFK. Or go to kpfk.org and pledge online as well. And by the way, if you're in the area and would like to volunteer to answer our phones, if you're in and around Studio City or North Hollywood, we'd love to get your help answering phone lines. We've got several empty seats in our phone room today, and you can join us at 3729 Cahuenga Boulevard West in North Hollywood. We're right around the corner from Universal Studios. The rest of you, if you haven't pledged yet, now is a good time to do it. We want to wrap up this drive. We want to go back to regular programming, but at the same time, I'm very happy today that we're featuring this documentary, The Living Dead, by filmmaker Adam Curtis. It's a wonderful film, and it's another one of these powerful films that I started to watch and I just couldn't stop watching it. He's just a master filmmaker, putting together incredible archival vintage footage that I wish I could translate to you over the air, because we're on radio, you don't really get to see it, but if you get a copy of this DVD through us, then you will get to see it. And of course, these very important interviews that he does. He interviews people who are veterans of World War II. He interviews former Nazis themselves. He interviews Germans in Germany who have different perspectives on the world, Second World War, and it's an incredible film. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call, 818-985-5735. And for a pledge of just $75, we will send you a copy of the documentary The Living Dead by Adam Curtis, a very, very very powerful documentary that is, you know, just teaches us so much about who we are as human beings. Now, we do have some special bonus thank yous, special bonus gifts to offer you today as well. Some of you may remember the very powerful documentary, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, one of our most all-time favorite thank you gifts here on KPFK. Well, there's a very special screening of this documentary. You know, it's not really something that you can find very easily in the United States, but the filmmaker, Rod Stoneman, is here in the United States, and he is going to be presenting the film, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, which is about the Venezuelan coup a few years ago, at the Silent Movie Theater in Los Angeles. Actually, it's in Hollywood at 8 p.m. tonight. It is a one-time only screening introduced by the film's co-executive producer, Rod Stoneman. He recently published a book by the same name, and he's going to discuss this documentary. And it's a very, very packed screening. Tickets are very limited. We have five pairs of tickets to give to our listeners. The first five callers this hour who call and pledge $225 to get the Adam Curtis Pack, all four documentaries that we featured here on KPFK, including The Living Dead, The Trap, Century of the Self, and The Power of Nightmares. That's hours and hours and hours of fantastic, compelling, powerful documentary on four DVDs and a pair of tickets to see The Revolution Will Not Be Televised tonight at the Silent Movie Theater. And in just a moment, I'll get you the address. Actually, it's at 611 North Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles. That's the Silent Movie Theater, 611 North Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles. 8 p.m. tonight, you can catch a screening of the film. If you call in and pledge on credit card, $225, and split it up into as many installments as you can afford, that will allow us to send you four of the DVDs of Adam Curtis. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. And it's a very powerful documentary that's actually so relevant today, The Living Dead, that we have been hearing the first few moments of, because of the conversation around accusations of socialism and Nazism and how they are just conflated by the right wing. They don't want you to understand and know and learn from history, real history. And in this film, you really do get that. And if you get all four DVDs, it's just a little over $18 a month to KPFK. We'll send you the DVDs. We'll also send you a pair of tickets to where your name will be at will call for the screening tonight of Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Let's go to another excerpt from this film, The Living Dead, about the Nuremberg trials.
Since you're gone, there's nothing left but sorrow. No joys now, our pleasures cannot find.
In May 1945, the Germans finally surrendered. The Americans, along with the Russians, were now the dominant powers. They were determined to put the surviving Nazi leaders on trial. They chose the city of Nuremberg, whose ruins their troops now occupied. The trials were to be more than just a legal process. They were to be a history lesson, an attempt by the Allies to piece together and explain what the war had been for. It will be the greatest history seminar ever in the world, announced one American prosecutor. But the Americans were to have a determined opponent, Hermann Göring. He had been brought to Nuremberg by his jailer, Colonel Andrus.
When my father first met him, his fingernails were bright red with fingernail polish, and in his baggage was a tremendous quantity of a drug. It was diagnosed as pericodine, which in itself is a fairly mild drug, but he was taking 20 or more a day. When he was given his physical examination, the doctors discovered his toenails were also bright red.
Colonel Andrus put Göring on a strict regime to wean him of his drug addiction. He quickly recovered and became the dominant figure amongst the 21 defendants. The trial began on November the 20th, 1945. The prosecution's aim was to show that the Nazis in the dock had conspired to wage war and to commit crimes against humanity. To prove this, they reconstructed the events of the past 15 years using documents, photographs, the emerging evidence from the concentration camps, and most dramatically, Nazi film.
We will show you their own film. you will see their own conduct and hear their own voices as these defendants reenact for you some of the events in the court of the conspiracy.
The Nazi Plan was a film shown to the court. It lasted 6 hours and had been edited from millions of feet of captured Nazi footage. In particular, The Triumph of the Will, Leni Riefenstahl's record of the Nazi rallies in Nuremberg 8 years before. This was taken by Hollywood editors and recut with other footage to tell a new story. It showed that hidden behind the pomp and splendor of the 30s lay Hitler's conspiracy to wage war.
They took large parts of The Triumph of Will and other surviving Nazi footage and put it together. And the Nazi Plan attempts to be a documentary history of the Third Reich. It's a good basis, and we know where the film came from. But it is, of course, a biased, Allied linking of German film. Shows the last just war, the war that had to be fought, that we were reluctant to fight, where the villains were clear and the heroes were clear. That's the memory.
What began in the courtroom at Nuremberg was the construction of the grand public memory of the Second World War. Out of the chaotic fragments of 5 years of warfare, the Allies forged a simple, powerful story. But the memories and experiences that didn't fit the story were quietly discarded and forgotten.
This official plot of the war, that it was a good war that proceeded from bad to good, or from defeat to success and victory, that's true. That's true. But it has almost nothing to do with the individual soldier's individual truth. They know better. They know sort of how much fun it was to direct artillery fire upon a hillside full of innocent German boys and to blow them all up. It was fun. It involved a great deal of technical expertise as a way of doing it well and as a way of doing it badly and so on. And you don't see the lads you're killing, so it's not as bad as it might be. But still, what you're doing is destroying human beings for the sake of the new post-war world.
I think the memory was built basically because the opponents were so evil that they make us look good.
The trial took place in the midst of a city the Americans had declared 90% dead. Few Germans ever came to the courtroom, and the Allied staff who worked there knew nothing of the world outside under the ruins.
In walking, you think you're alone, it's so quiet. All you've got to look at is rubble. You went through there and you felt alone. That nothing was there except stillness, and it was dead. And then suddenly you became aware of a head, or saw a movement, and it was a head coming out from that rubble. Just this head. It was alive and looking at you as you walked. And it gave you kind of a funny feeling that, oh, there are people there under the rubble.
Those are the memories of a woman who was in Nuremberg at the time of the Nuremberg trial. She was an American, like many Americans who were there at the time of those very important prosecutions that became the greatest history lesson of all time, as you just heard in an excerpt of this documentary called Living Dead by Adam Curtis. If you're a fan of Adam Curtis's work, you've probably heard him on KPFK if you've been listening long enough. The Power of Nightmares was the first documentary that we brought for you, and that was pretty much one of our most popular thank you gifts of all time. The Century of the Self came next, and The Trap we also have featured. Today we're featuring a fourth documentary, The Living Dead, offering you as our thank you gift to you for a pledge of just $75 to KPFK anytime this hour at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Now, some of this material may seem a little bit obscure to you. You're wondering, well, why should I care about World War II? Well, it takes a while to build up the ideas. has the threads. And, you know, we can only feature small snippets of the documentary. But if you watch long enough of it, it makes a very coherent picture of what he's trying to say, which is that the World War II history was really erased, particularly at the Nuremberg trials, how the Nazis were set up as evil creatures and the Allied forces as the good guys, notwithstanding, of course, the evil that was done, that there's no argument about in this film. But the sinister reality that all human beings are capable of fascistic tendencies was hidden, and the world quickly moved on, while those invested in Hitler's Germany quietly remained under the radar, resentful of the way in which they were painted as evil. And then the film also goes into how in the late 1960s, during the student revolutions in Germany, younger Germans tried to confront older generations of the crimes committed, and eventually in their own battles realized that they were capable of violent and fascist behavior. It's a wonderful examination of what human beings are capable of, and how the sort of erasing of World War II history is actually a disservice to all of us who never want to see that evil repeated again. To just simply say that the only evil that could ever have been done was done by the Nazis in Hitler's Germany, and now that we've finished that war, now that it's over and done with, that we cannot see repeats of that. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. It's very, very powerful work. When you call that phone number, we want to give you The Living Dead on DVD, or really, the best gift is all four Adam Curtis documentaries, The Power of Nightmares, The Trap, Century of the Self, and The Living Dead, by this very important filmmaker, for a pledge of $225. That's just $18.75 a month. And if you want to go see tonight's screening of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, we have five pairs of tickets to the screening at the Silent Movie Theater here in Hollywood, 611 North Fairfax Avenue, a very special, a very limited one-time-only screening of this documentary, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, with the filmmaker, Rod Stoneman, who's here in town, and the Silent Movie Theater has very generously given us five pairs of tickets to entice you to call in. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number, or you can go online to kpfk.org, although the tickets are not available there, but you can pledge either $75 for The Living Dead to add to your Adam Curtis collection, or $225 for all four documentaries if you don't have any of them. Adam Curtis is a very, very popular and important BBC television documentarian who has, in the course of his television career, worked as a writer, a producer, a director, and a narrator. He's still working for the BBC for a program called Current Affairs. And he had actually had an education in human sciences, which included courses in genetics, psychology, politics, geography, and elementary statistics. You can actually tell that psychology is one of his favorite subjects, because in the second part of this film, he goes into how the U.S. CIA funded psychological experiments to try to figure out if memory could be manipulated. And when they, of course, realized that that couldn't happen, they then invested in the creation of artificial intelligence, which led directly to the cruise missile and to the unmanned drones that we see today being deployed in Pakistan and Afghanistan. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. 818-985-5735. It's a pledge of $75 for Living Dead on DVD, which is Adam Curtis's film that we are profiling and featuring today. $225 for all four films. And if you call and make a credit card pledge, we'll give you a pair of tickets to tonight's screening of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. And for a pledge of just $75, we'll give you Adam Curtis's documentary, The Living Dead. Let's go back to an excerpt of the second part of the documentary about CIA funding of psychological experiments in Montreal, in Canada. But those were used here, of course, in the United States. And this was in the context of the Cold War, following the Second World War and the post-war conflict, and how it led up to increasing tensions between the U.S. and the Soviet Union.
Cameron's experiments were extraordinary in their ambition, but they were not the work of a maverick. He was part of a new scientific way of thinking about the human mind that grew up in the 1950s. The brain, scientists believed, was like a computer, and memory was information.
The image of the mind became dominant was essentially a very fast and a very clever computer, such that memory was information that you had inscribed in specific places where you were then accessible for retrieval. And you could get rid of them, add them. And in many ways, history was being regarded in the same way. I mean, in the Soviet state, for example, you airbrushed memory, and that was it, and was not, no longer in the picture.
In the 1950s, a new science of the mind grew up in America's universities. It was called cognitive science, and it linked psychology, psychiatry, and neuroscience. The image of the brain was that of a computer. It was an image that fitted perfectly with the political needs of those who were running the Cold War.
The image of the human being that was being built up at that particular time was that there was a great deal of vulnerability in every human being, and that that vulnerability could be manipulated to program somebody to be something that I wanted them to be and they didn't want to be. That you could manipulate people in such a way that they could be automatons, if you will, for whatever your own purposes were. This was the image that people thought was possible.
Yeah. I just feel like I don't have any thoughts like a human being. I'm just an animal walking around on the earth.
In some experiments, the behavior of mentally ill patients was directly altered by wires planted inside the brain.
Anything would go off somewhere, not never see nobody else.
Now the treatment is started. She's receiving a very minute amount of current. Actually, it amounts to only 5/1000ths of an ampere delivered to a very specific region in the brain. And, of course, it's changing in behavior.
And look at that smile you got now.
Why does that make me do that? I don't like to do that.
You really told me off, remember?
I know I did, but I couldn't help it.
The CIA was deeply involved in the growth of cognitive science. Dr. Cameron was only one of many scientists whose work was funded by the agency in the 50s.
The CIA tended to be involved with those scientists and researchers who were on the frontiers of brain research, and they tended to choose them as young scientists and support them and subsidize them so their work would continue in the areas that the CIA found interesting. You've got to understand that it wasn't just one or two individuals, but that the CIA funded perhaps 15 or 20 key people right across the fields of psychology and brain research. So one can make a real case that the CIA played a catalytic role in the development of psychology as we know it today and as it was born in the 1950s and early 1960s.
Who were the psychologists who did agree to help you?
Well, some of them don't want to be identified, so I won't really answer that question for you.
Why do they not want their names mentioned?
Because they like to deny they ever had anything to do with the Central Intelligence Agency. After we got our bad name and became a rogue tiger and peace movements and everything that came in terms of that began to bloody the nose of CIA. And certainly many of the professors in the universities and in the various laboratories in terms of that, it was embarrassing for them to have to admit that they worked for CIA. Now, that's a fact. I shouldn't have said that, but that's a fact.
But they were, but back in those days, they were happy to work for you.
Very, very much so, and very interested.
And that's another excerpt from the film Living Dead. In fact, this is part two of the film. Part one focuses on World War II, the Nuremberg trials, and the erasing of, or really the rewriting of history and presenting history through a very, very particular lens. Part two focuses on the manipulation of memory, and the connection between the two parts is a man by the name of Donald Ewan Cameron, who was a psychiatrist who believed that psychiatrists should be part of government and should be actually hired by the government, and politicians should listen to them because apparently psychiatrists knew what was good for people. The number to call if you're interested in this documentary and if you're interested in seeing KPFK stay on the air is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. For a pledge of $75, we'll send you Living Dead by Adam Curtis, BBC filmmaker. For a pledge of $225, we'll send you all four of his documentaries. That's four DVDs, each documentary a minimum of 3 hours. One of them is actually 4 hours long. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number. And for $225, we'll send you The Living Dead, The Power of Nightmares, Century of the Self, and The Trap. You can also go to kpfk.org and make a pledge online. It just takes a few minutes. So in the second part, Dr. Cameron, who is a psychiatrist who was actually an advisor to the judges at the Nuremberg trials, felt that if you could produce a rational world free of war by getting rid of memories, of people's bad memories, then that should be a government program. He worked at a clinic in Montreal on mentally ill patients to change their memory. And Cameron believed that a war like World War II should never happen again. But what he really meant was that memories of war should be erased. And so the CIA found his work very interesting simply because they thought that the Soviet Union was probably working on the same kind of research and they wanted to beat them to it. And in this documentary, we see how Manchurian candidate-like scenarios were expected and feared by the CIA, and so they funded the work of doctors like Cameron to try to control people's minds using terrible things like electric shock therapy. This is not some bizarre conspiracy theory, folks. It's very much known. It's well documented. If you Google Dr. Donald Cameron, Ewan Cameron, you'll see a very well documented work that looks at his psychological experiments. And so much of actually modern psychology today can thank the CIA for funding that laid the groundwork for some of the understanding, some of which still continues, much of which has been sort of rethought and understood since those times. It's very important work, which the story then next goes into the funding of artificial intelligence when they realized that human memory couldn't be manipulated. Yes, we were far too complex creatures to manipulate in that way. And artificial intelligence and the funding of that then gave rise to the modern cruise missile and the unmanned drone. It's a very fascinating, powerful history, very relevant to today, very relevant to everything that we see happening around us. The Living Dead by Adam Curtis is a documentary that we think you should have in your collection, as we think you should support KPFK at 818-985-5735. Get all four Adam Curtis documentaries. Really, if you're somebody who likes thoughtful documentaries, thoughtfully presented and beautifully presented, well-produced, then the Adam Curtis four-pack collection, four-DVD collection, is very important to have in your DVD collection. And you will find that these documentaries will be relevant for years to come. And we hope KPFK will be alive for years to come. We can only do it without, with your help. We cannot do it without your help. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. 818-985-5735. It's a three-hour-long documentary called The Living Dead by Adam Curtis, BBC filmmaker, for a pledge of just $75. Or you can go to kpfk.org and pledge online as well. The four DVD pack, all four Adam Curtis documentaries, are available for $225. And really, folks, that's a deal, because if you do the math, each of those documentaries are available for $75. 75 times 4, a lot more than $225, but we want to give you a deal. Times are tough. In fact, by now, ordinarily, we would have wrapped up our fund drives, but of course, we know times are tough, and so people have been slower in responding and in being able to pledge to KPFK. But the faster that you pledge to KPFK, the faster we can finish up this fund drive and the faster we can go back to regular programming. We have three callers on the line right now. We'd love to hear from three more of you before we return to this very important documentary and the history of the rise of Cuba under Fidel Castro and the CIA's desperate attempts to assassinate Fidel Castro through the use of literally programmed assassins. You couldn't make this stuff up, folks. That history is also embodied in Adam Curtis's film, The Living Dead. And we want to play you that history lesson from this film next. But I'd love to hear from three more callers at 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Tickets to see The Revolution Will Not Be Televised tonight at the Silent Movie Theater are still available. It's the 8 p.m. screening of a very rare documentary that we really have not been able to offer. Well, you cannot find that DVD anywhere else except through KPFK, but the screening is now happening tonight at 8 p.m. at the Silent Movie Theater, 611 North Fairfax Avenue, and we'll give you a free pair of tickets alongside the four DVD Adam Curtis pack if you call and pledge right now with your credit card. 820-985-KPFK is a phone number. 820-985-5735. Let's take another listen to The Living Dead.
The CIA were terrified that the Russians might also be working to produce a programmed assassin. They decided to continue funding Dr. Cameron. Whether he was creating healthy human beings or not was now irrelevant. The perfect assassin would be programmed for one simple task, and the fewer memories and emotions involved, the better.
A perfect agent would be somebody conditioned to be kind of amoral. You could train them to use firearms indiscriminately. You could train them to shoot people with very little feeling or thought. You could train them to use abusive and brutalizing procedures in order to obtain information with no hesitancy, with no concern. For example, I might not easily be able to go into a laboratory, take a knife, and cut a cat's head off. It's something that I would find very difficult to do. Now, in order to achieve that, you would have to deal with significant aspects of memory.
Not having a memory is not knowing who you are, not having any sense of how to fit into the world. I didn't know it was not right to flirt at parties if you're a married person. I carried a dictionary with me for 5 years and would run into strangers' kitchens at parties trying to look up the words and trying to figure out what it was that was going on in the living room so that I could...
And that was the voice of a woman who underwent electric shock therapy for several years in the lab and in the clinic run by Dr. Cameron, whose work the CIA funded. And she, many, many years later, gave an interview to Adam Curtis that's featured in this incredible documentary, The Living Dead, talking about what that therapy, so-called therapy, did to her. And this was the result of the CIA putting faith in people like Dr. Cameron, psychologists like Dr. Cameron, who thought that the human brain was simply a computer, was like a very complex and very powerful computer that could be manipulated. You know, you excise a piece here and you excise memories. You put pressure on another piece there and you bring up memories. You could potentially implant memories, they thought. Well, they didn't succeed in those endeavors because the human brain is far more complex than that. And so the CIA turned to artificial intelligence. I mean, much of this program's funding was also motivated by a desire to come up with a programmed assassin for Fidel Castro, who, of course, the U.S. wanted to see eliminated. 820-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. For a pledge of just $18.75 a month, we'll send you the Adam Curtis DVD pack, and you can keep KPFK alive through your donation. Call us right now at 818-985-5735. We'll send you The Living Dead that we've been featuring all hour this hour. We'll also send you The Power of Nightmares, a fantastic three-part documentary, The Power of Nightmares, The Rise of the Politics of Fear. If you already have this documentary, well, get another copy and give it away to a friend. The Century of the Self, which is another fantastic documentary on some of Adam Curtis's favorite themes, and The Trap. And if you Google them, you'll see the what the films are about. We featured them on our fund drives before, and they are fantastic, powerful documentaries. Each of them, you know, these are documentaries that you can't stop watching. What I love about Adam Curtis's work is the masterful way in which he puts them together. He gets archival footage, including interviews that he himself conducts, usually with first-hand witnesses of the ideas that he is trying to explore, and then with usually very eerie soundtracks and just amazing footage, putting it all together so masterfully with these, you know, very, very complex ideas that begin to make sense. He unravels them little by little like a master storyteller, except they're about reality and not fiction. But some of the material that he looks at, it seems stranger than fiction, but it's all factual. It's all documented. We vet all of the documentaries on this program before we promote them to you, before we feature them for you, before we offer them to you as our thank you gift for a pledge of just $18.75 a month, $225 for four documentaries. That is about a dozen hours of a film, fantastic, well-produced films by Adam Curtis, one of my favorite filmmakers and one of our favorite filmmakers here at the station as a whole. The number to call is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. By the way, all the documentaries are available individually. if you want to just call and make a pledge of any amount. And remember, the reason why we're asking for you to go to the phones is because we want to keep this radio station alive. It's no fun to have to beg you for money. It's no fun to have to not do regular programming. I was scheduled to interview Wangari Maathai, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, this morning, but because we're still in Fund Drive, I'm going to have to record that interview and bring it to you after the Fund Drive is over. Several other folks who we wanted to interview and several other stories we want to cover, we're not able to cover because we're not raising the money fast enough. If we just do regular programming, folks don't call in. And so we have to sort of stop what we're doing and feature, you know, popular documentaries, books, and other interesting thank you gifts to entice you to call in, to tempt you to call in and make a pledge to KPFK. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. I know the temptation is to just tune out and say, well, I'll just wait till their fund drive is over. Well, when you tune back in, we may not be there because you didn't pitch in, you didn't come through. So don't just tune out. Don't just walk away. Don't just say, well, I'm just going to listen to another radio station in the meantime, because you know that any other radio station is not going to be a good enough substitute for KPFK. If you enjoy this kind of cutting-edge programming, the kind of truth-telling you hear on KPFK, the alternative views to the mainstream media, where we have the freedom like no other radio station does to offer you perspectives that are considered too dangerous for the mainstream media. 820-985-KPFK is the phone number. It's a pledge of $18.75 a month, or really pledge at any level that you want to pledge at, that you can afford, that makes sense to you. But pledge, if you've never pledged before, pledge at least once, and make a pledge, you know, so that somebody else who's already pledged before can enjoy the programming. 820-985-5735 is the phone number. 820-985-KPFK. In this next excerpt from the documentary, we'll hear about how when the assassination of John F. Kennedy happened, the CIA was terrified that it could have been a Soviet-programmed assassin like they had been trying to come up with against Fidel Castro, and how a particular Soviet KGB defector named Yuri Nasenko was interrogated for years to try to figure out if Lee Harvey Oswald was actually a Soviet implant. And you'll sort of hear the desperation in the CIA in this next excerpt of The Living Dead.
I wanted to be just like everybody else, and I knew I wasn't.
Nasenko was held in complete isolation by the CIA and interrogated day and night, but he stuck to his story. But those in charge of his interrogation did not believe him. They were convinced he had been implanted with false memories by the KGB.
Nasenko's brain is the depository of the truth. Whatever the truth is in his memory, is in his brain. And the thing is to find a key which will open that brain so we can find the true memory from the false memory.
The CIA set out to wipe Nasenko's false memories. They used all the techniques that Dr. Cameron had taught them.
The problem of detecting whether or not a memory that has been implanted can be uncovered and revealed to be a false memory involves great risks, because you have to break through the amnesia and you have to force the individual to confront the conflict of that experience, which can lead to abreactions, disorientation, confusion, and sometimes actual mental illness. I mean, he might be a basket case.
One drug affected me very strong. I simply was floating. I was almost half conscious. And suddenly, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't take air in, couldn't take air out. Almost died. They noticed on TV camera, they ran, immediately pulled me out of cell. And next door, it was my shower stall and bathroom facilities. They put me in the shower, cold water, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot. Bring
me. Nasenko was kept in complete isolation for 3 years. The Americans tried every possible technique to break into his memory, but all of them failed. The CIA was torn apart by his case. Those who believed him were themselves accused of being under Soviet control.
I
15 years before, Dr. Cameron had set out to free human beings from their past. His experiments ended in a dark world of paranoia. There was no way of telling whether a person's memory was true or false. No one could be trusted.
We had been really chasing a phantom, if you will, an illusion. That the human mind was more capable of manipulation from the outside by outside factors than it is. We found out that the human being is an extremely complex thing. There were no simple solutions. We got trapped a lot of times with complexities and illusions that didn't exist. But you've just got to bear in mind that these were very strange times.
The CIA had pursued the psychological experiments for one simple reason. They had been convinced the Soviets were doing the same thing. But the KGB had long ago given up trying to use psychology. They had found another way of predicting the behavior of human beings.
To my mind, practically, psychology isn't developed enough to make the practical conclusions. When I started to work as an intelligence officer, I was asked by my chief, and do you know what he asked me first? He asked me whether I read Dostoevsky. And in his opinion, you've got to know the psychological problems in the way they've been described by Dostoevsky. He said that Dostoevsky would let me understand people, would let me see what is happening in his head.
And that's the voice of an ex-KGB officer being interviewed by Adam Curtis in the film The Living Dead, because the reason he talked to these ex-KGB officers was to reveal the extreme paranoia in the CIA here in the United States, who were convinced that the Soviet Union was pursuing its own program of psychological manipulation of the brain, erasing and creating of memories and implanting memories, when in fact the KGB was simply told, just read Fyodor Dostoevsky and you'll understand how the human brain works. We heard the voice also of Yuri Nasenko in this excerpt, who was interviewed by Adam Curtis for this film, a remarkable interview where he goes in depth into how he was essentially interrogated for 3 years because the CIA were so convinced that he knew that he himself was a programmed spy sent by the KGB to give the impression that Lee Harvey Oswald was not at all connected to the Soviet Union, of course, and by extension, the assassination of JFK. It really exposes the CIA's paranoia and its continued efforts at funding psychological manipulation and creating these programmed assassins. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We just have a few minutes left in the program, and we want you to make a pledge to KPFK. And of course, you know, the programmed assassins that are human were never made possible because it's, you know, you cannot program human beings. But the CIA then turned instead to those non-human programmed assassins that we today know as unmanned drones. The predecessor of those were cruise missiles. And this documentary actually goes into the first Gulf War, where cruise missiles were first used, and how it was, you know, viewed, that the memory of that war here in the United States, so different from the memory of veterans who served in that war, because here in the U.S. we just saw it as a video game because of these cruise missiles. So in a way, the very bizarre and frightening history of the CIA's funding of programmed assassins has now come full circle, and we see the results today in the wars that are being fought like video games. 820-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We have two callers on the line right now, many of you calling in earlier. And I hope you've been pledging for the four DVD pack by Adam Curtis, the fantastic DVDs, The Trap, The Power of Nightmares, Century of the Self, and the one that we're featuring today, Living Dead, for a pledge of $225. That's just $18.75 a month. And we want you to support KPFK. That's it, plain and simple. You don't have to get this documentary if you already have, or if you don't have to get the pack if you have the other documentaries, or get it and give it away as gifts to your friends. But whatever amount that you pledge at, maybe you can just afford $25 or $50, or maybe you're out there, somebody out there can afford $1,000 or $2,000. Pledge at the level that is comfortable to you, but most importantly, make a pledge. Those of you who never pledged, those of you who haven't pledged this year, maybe you've pledged before and your subscription has lapsed. Those of you who can afford to pledge but are sitting back and saying, well, I'll just let somebody else do it. It's a tax-deductible contribution, and it's very important that you call and pledge to KPFK, because the faster you call in, the faster we end this drive, the faster we go to regular programming. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number. You can also go online to kpfk.org and make an online pledge that just takes a few minutes. You can use your credit card. We're nearly out of time, folks, and we have several phone lines that have opened up. If you called before and got a busy signal, please just call right back now. We apologize that we might have missed your call because the phone lines did fill up. 818-985-KPFK. I knew this would be a popular thank you gift because it's Adam Curtis, after all, whose work we featured prominently on Uprising and other KPFK programs in the past. And I know that you want to have a copy of this documentary, add it to your collection, the Adam Curtis 4-DVD pack, hours and hours of material, actually 13 hours of documentary material done by one of the best filmmakers living today, and you know whose material is too dangerous to be shown on American television. Brits get to see it. The English-speaking world in other countries gets to see it, but here in the United States, where it's the most relevant, we are not shown Adam Curtis's work. Why? Because it's so relevant. Why? Because it is so dangerous to our own perception of who we are as a country. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call for Sonali's subversive thought for the day. George Santayana once said, a country without a memory is a country of madmen. That's Sonali's subversive thought for the day. Keep those calls coming. You've been listening to Uprising. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. KPFK.org is our website. You can make your pledge at those numbers. We're nearly out of time, folks. Please keep those calls coming. It's a pledge of $225 for the 4-DVD set of Adam Curtis. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kulhatkar. Thanks so much for listening. See you tomorrow at 8.